can answer your questions and can always answer correctly, but will only answer in the form of a confusing riddle that only makes sense after the thing has happened or after you figured it out already. So if you ask him, like, oh, where's this? And he's like, oh, it's at the place where this, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And then at the end of the quest, they're like, oh.
We're going to talk about magic?
We're going to talk about magic?
Talk about magic?
Not the Gathering, though.
No. Why not?
Because I don't know. I don't really have much to say about that.
You have played Magic the Gathering, though.
This is
a couple times. Socks Obligatory Magic Podcasting.
I don't know how well that meshes. But okay, yeah, this is Kendrick.
Hey, I'm Kyle Hagen.
Kyle.
Parker Hagen, sorry.
Elizabeth Hagen. And Kendrick Kyle Hagen.
Kyle Elizabeth Hagen Evans. Oh my god.
Fucking recursive now.
So, we were talking last time about Doctor Strange, and we started to get a little bit into magic.
Magic!
And how cool magic was with all the stuff, and we kind of started talking about some of the topics we're probably going to cover again today.
Let's do it.
We like
just fucking balls to the wall.
But
I guess, I almost feel like Happy New Year probably happened around somewhere around here, right? Like,
sure.
Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a good holiday season.
If we haven't had a New Year yet, then I hope you have a wonderful New Year when it does happen.
Yeah, I think we're coming up. If it hasn't happened yet, you're there. Otherwise, I hope you had a good holiday season with the people that you enjoy spending holiday seasons with.
Yeah. That's really long-winded. Merry Christmas, is what you're trying to say.
I just don't care.
Fucking me.
Guys, it's cold. Be nice to each other. I don't know why that's so hard to wrap your heads around and why we got to be dicks to each other.
Is the wrapping thing a Christmas joke?
Oh, my God! I'm triggered by your being triggered.
Wow, I wasn't triggered by anything.
Oh, I'm triggered by your not being triggered.
Oh, wow.
Trigger hush.
War on hurt feelings.
Yeah, I'm declaring war on hurt feelings.
So, magic does not care about your feelings.
Nope. Well, sometimes it does.
I guess, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it does. You were talking to me about the xanthan gum.
Xanthan gum. The magic of the thickening powers of xanthan gum.
Yeah, so xanthan gum is a thing. And also, this world that Kendrick was talking about called Xanth.
Yeah, you probably don't want to have your butt toasted.
No, I don't.
You want the fucking AC
on.
That
feels so good. My body. Sexy body.
It's going to be really loud, though.
I know.
So you should probably not go all the way to low. It's probably 65.
Yeah.
Sufficient.
65 is magic.
Yeah.
This podcast is being really productive so far. So talk about Xanth. I liked that earlier.
You know. Okay, so it's been a while since I've read it, so caveat for everybody.
It's same with any of the things we're probably
going to
talk about.
Yeah, we're dredging deep for the memories of this one. But Xanth is the colloquial name for a series of some 30 books or so written by Piers Anthony.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah, he just keeps writing until he dies. And his official stance is that he hopes that he keels over in the middle of one, and that they publish it half done anyway. Because
sweet.
Fuck it. Like, that's basically...
This is the pun guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Piers Anthony, who's written the Xanth series, God of Tarot, which is a very odd book, that just, it goes to some weird places. They meet Jesus. It's very strange. And then he also wrote the Bio of a Space Tyrant series.
Which is something we were going to talk about at one point, which was space politics and how much weirder it is than real politics.
Yeah, what I need to do is like...
how much it mimics real politics.
Yeah. Mostly, Bio of a Space Tyrant is like just a total thinly veiled treatise on... Okay. Wow, that guy does not know or care where he's going.
He might know where he's going, but he doesn't care about...
Well, he wants to go there. Anyway. Regardless... He also wrote this series called Xanth, and in it, it takes place in a fictitious version of Florida, which is primarily made up of puns, and everybody who is born on this peninsula develops a magical ability, and it's usually, I think it's just one magical ability, and the power of it varies, obviously, tremendously from person to person, and there's no, like, consistent uniformity. And I believe there's no two that are exactly alike.
They're like snowflake powers.
They're kind of like snowflake powers, and almost useful in some cases. They call one class of magic they call a spot on the wall variety, where you can just create a magical colored spot on the wall, and that's it. It's
or,
like, well,
yeah, other
you get to
things.
Dig ditches. And another person has the ability to, anything that she believes comes true, but only as long as she doesn't realize that that's her power. Which is a kind of convoluted, fun-tastic horseshit that series is really good at. Because they keep... like, she doesn't think she has a power for the longest time, and no one else does until they realize this, but then they can't tell her, because they told her, and then it broke, and then they found out there's someone whose power is knowing people's powers.
So is there, like, if she's like... what I believe that zebras are two-legged, and then, like, all the zebras are two-legged.
Yeah.
If she realizes she has power, does it just the last thing that she...
I think it all falls apart.
Okay, everything that...
But they didn't really go into, like, transforming physics.
Okay.
It was mostly like, I think, you know, I really believe that you're going to succeed in this quest, and you're going to find the thing you're looking for. And it's like, great. And then they leave, and now they have a much higher chance of success.
Unless somebody, like, makes her realize her power might
win
that quest. Okay.
But she lives in a tower, so...
Oh, okay.
The biggest thing in it is there's an awful lot of puns, like the Freudian slip, which is a dress you can wear that has a tendency to be unnecessarily revealing at all times and kind of hike up in some places or plunge too low in other places because it's always revealing more than you intended.
It's a Freudian slip. Get it? You guys get that?
Yeah.
I'll wait for your response.
We'll wait. And we're back.
30 minutes no responses. So.
We just edited. I was editing. So that's something. There's two types of cherries, one of which explode when you throw them, cherry bombs, and the other ones, if you eat them, they cause your airways to constrict. They are choke cherries.
What is a choke cherry?
It's a type of cherry.
Yeah, but like I didn't get. You told me that.
You've never heard of
like,
choke cherries? I think it's a bitter cherry.
Huh.
Yeah, you'd have to look it up. I don't remember for sure. I think you can eat them, but I don't remember. But anyway, yeah, so there's shit like that. It's all puns. Pineapples are grenades. Pineapple grenades. So you pull the stem off and throw them and they explode.
Awesome. Why is so much fruit violent?
Those are only two. Those are just the ones that stuck out in my memory because it's really funny to me that fruit is like explosive. It just stuck out. I'm trying to remember a lot of the other ones, but it's out there. There's another guy whose ability, he knows everybody's future, or he can answer your questions truthfully. It's something really very specific like this. He's an arch wizard dude who's like a sorcerer and whatever. And he can answer your questions and can always answer correctly, but will only answer in the form of a confusing riddle that only makes sense after the thing has happened or after you figured it out already. So if you ask him, like, oh, where's this? And he's like, oh, it's at the place where this, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And then at the end of the quest, they're like, oh.
The two dogs were the things that we saw.
Yeah,
there.
And it was like, you fucker. So that's like, again, it's like, that's a very useful power, but not, really not. And in this, the source of magic is that people have souls. And that's what fuels it, they think. And it turns out, spoiler alert, later on, it turns out it's because there's a giant-ass demon sleeping under the Xanth, which is not Florida, but totally Florida. There's a giant-ass demon.
The demon is... Why does that have to do with souls?
Well, they thought it was their souls that allowed them the magic powers.
Okay.
But it turns out the souls were a conduit to the demon, and the demon ups and leaves, and so all the magic stops, and the place really goes to shit for half a book, because it's like, so there's no magic, but that guy lives by magic, so he's not having a good time. And they have no concept of, like, medicine or, like... food, because everything's magic, so like their whole culture gets kind of fucked up.
That's like kind of like EMP.
Yeah, basically. Only it's a electro magic pulse.
No, it's actually a demon leaving. So
exiting magic pulse.
Dumb jokes.
Exiting magic. Anyway, so that was one of the stories that we talked about. And then you had one.
Yeah, it's called the Kingkiller Chronicles was talking about sympathy, and they call magic in their world sympathy. And anybody who studies sympathy doesn't think it's magic, but everyone who doesn't study it is pretty convinced it's magic, right? And so
the idea is magic.
He's just gonna sing that then the whole time.
I'm done.
No, you can keep going.
You
it's
know.
Beautiful.
Never
the idea is that we should have left earlier. I'm sorry.
It's all your fault. You know what you get for it?
Fart. Don't fart, please. We can't roll the window down.
Nope. You did this.
So the idea is there is that everything shares a sympathetic link. So wood to other wood, the kind of like quantum tunneling thing that we've talked about in science before, like weirdly, like you move an atom and you move an atom and on the other side of the earth, one atom moves or some weird stuff like
quantum,
that.
Quantum,
right?
Quantum linking or whatever.
Yeah. Linking. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's not tunneling. You're right. So the thing is you can create these, you can enhance and create new sympathetic links using like certain symbols and magic or what they call magic and understanding, you know, the things that you can do to link to objects. So you could grab a piece of wood and use it to move another piece of wood without having to touch the other piece. So, like, you'd link them together, and when you move the one piece of wood, the other piece of wood would move magically, right? It's like you're lifting one with the other. So, but the idea is that the things that are more similar are more easily linked together. So, like, fire from a candle linked to fire from a fireplace could get really hot because the fire from the fireplace is a stronger flame, right? But if you wanted to use a copper coin to lift that tree branch, it would be really, really hard and require a lot of your internal energy to actually do, because the idea is that, like, the more different the sympathetic link, the more physics, like, the more physical energy you have to put into something to force it to interact, right? Yeah. So, like, lifting the coin is super duper hard because of the disparity in in atomic structure and things like that between the wood and the coin, right? But the wood and the wood, it's just however heavy the wood is because they're so already sympathetically linked together. This goes along things, and I'm sure you can see where this is going, but things like if you can create a sympathetic link between a thing and its like thing, so a branch from a tree that you're trying to move, it's a lot more strong than, you know, wood from a wagon wheel to a random tree. Like, even though they're both wood, one of them is from the actual source, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have someone's blood or their hair or some part of their skin, you can actually... You can
move their hair around.
You can just, like, brush them from a long distance away.
My hair looks so good here. And you're like,
oh no, my beard!
And their hair is just blowing in the wind.
But that's how they, like, that's how, like, bounty hunters track people and, like, assassins go and hurt people, is that you can, like, really fuck someone up if you create a sympathetic link with their blood and then start boiling their blood.
That would be awful.
Yeah, like, so there's crazy stuff like that in that book, too, where a lot of the things you learn are things like how you can... You know, he in the university he goes to, he learns how to be a, like, master sympathist, and he becomes specifically an artificer, and that's, like, one that deals with, like, metals and magic and charms, and he creates this thing, I can't remember what it's called, like, called the Bloodless, I believe it's called, where, like, if you shoot an arrow at it, it has this weird sympathetic thing where, like, the arrow would hit the, like, the arrow would go and hit this field that's around you that's created by this magnetic field that... translates the energy from the arrow to this, like, hanging gong, and it, like, creates, it pops this spring out, so all the energy's, like inside the gong, and that way the arrow doesn't kill you. And so he does these really cool things with sympathy that come off as magic to people who don't know it, but it's not really magic.
So you hit him with an arrow and a gong goes off and you're fine, and you're like, he's a wizard.
Yeah.
Like, no, I gotta crank that spring back.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what he says. It's like, because that's part of the solution there, is that he ends up having to, like, figure out how, like, he can get more than one shot to be blocked. And so he has to, like, kind of turn, he has to do, like, three different mechanisms to make sure, like, one spring hitting charges another spring. And so if, like, you turn the thing around, then you can get hit from behind and the front, and it, like, goes back and forth. It's really cool, but that's kind of the thing. And so if you like that kind of style of magic where people who are using it aren't really, like, convinced that it's magic at all, but people who don't know about it are completely convinced it's magic.
I can see where that informed your discussion this time.
Yeah, right. And that's one of my favorite books. It's The Name of the Wind and the...
Yeah, they're making that into a TV series.
They are. And the King... what's the fucking other one?
King Killer?
The Wise Man's Fear is the other one.
Duh. So, that there reminds me a little bit of some of the Dresden Files magic, which is not as... cool. The mechanism of it isn't exactly as well put together, but I like a lot of the...
chakra, kind of.
It's a lot more like focusing will and intent, but my favorite thing... we've talked a little bit about them before, I think, but...
Dresden Files. We can talk about that more, because I love that series.
My favorite part... Well, first of all... It comes from within yourself, but you're channeling the energy in the world around you, but you can build up certain things, like you can have a charm, you know, you have like your, what was it, you have this blasting rod, which has got focused energy in it that helps him channel energy to make more explosive
damage. Yeah, so like if he didn't have the rod and shot like fire out of his hand, it would be like crazy and go everywhere and be just a massive explosion.
And he only does that at least every book.
Yeah, but the blasting rod helps him focus it into like a laser beam or like fire, like a rocket instead of like a massive explosion.
It's because he or someone else enchanted it with magic over a various series of processes to create in it elements of focus
and like carvings and things to ruin like
but the thing that was really interesting I liked about that is that the runes themselves don't mean anything. Check this guy out over here.
What? Oh yeah, go fuck yourself.
That's a lane now, I decided.
It is.
That the runes and their and like the phrases he says, the magic spells and incantations don't mean anything.
They're all like things that you have associated with
exactly.
That, like,
so it's got nothing to do with the actual content. It's that you have to create these words to separate yourself from the power. Because if you just use the real word, it would blow up your brain.
Yeah.
Because it fucks with your head too much. So you need to create like a barrier of nonsense words. So, like, he goes for pseudo-Latin because he doesn't understand Latin. Like, that's why he picked it, because he's stuck in Latin. And so he doesn't understand. That's why his words are always pseudo-Latin, because they don't mean anything, but he's decided whatever it was, the Veritas or whatever he always is casting, means win.
Fuego.
Yeah. And so it's words that are sort of Latin, but not really, and that's what allows him to put it, that power into it, is because he puts the focus into the word, and then the word becomes charmed.
And a lot of these, like, charms and stuff, the things, like, you'll see later, like, he has the ring.
That,
like,
ring, that was one I wanted to talk about. Yeah, okay, his ring. Ahead. I love this ring he has, which he just wears this ring all the time, and every time he moves his hand in any way, it stores a little bit of the kinetic energy. So it must be like a little bit of resistance every time he moves it, like it's on like a rubber band.
Yeah.
Like just a little bit. And he's just building up a little bit of resistance. And then eventually when he invokes it with whatever his little, whatever, I think he just puts his will into it. He just focuses on it. He can hit you with all of the kinetic energy that's been saved up in the ring.
Which is like, it's so cool because it's almost like, you know, like that human energy thing where like people are like, if you wear these shoes, you could generate enough power to charge your phone. Because you just
Because
you're always doing stuff as humans, like moving your hands or like bobbing your head. I mean, so if you could store that energy somehow, you could really like
fuck somebody up, and he kills people with it.
Yeah,
or like, he almost kills them. He has to be. He specifically says at one point he has to be careful because he's like, wait, when's the last time I used this? It was like 6 months. He was like, that might kill a guy. I actually have to be careful with that one because the way it works is it's all, you know, it's a floodgate, and he punches towards somebody and like shoots this fucking Dragon Ball Z-esque force wall and knocks people off a truck, like just wrecks shit. Like, oh, and he's like, huh, guess it's been longer than 6 months. And he's like, all right, well, next thing.
But magic in that world is very, like, I don't think escalatory is a word, but, like, it makes you think of, like, you're working on an escalator. But it's very, like, power creepy. Like,
yeah.
The way that, I mean, that world does have kind of
yes, it
power
does. But I just like that mechanism where it's all about intent and will.
Yeah. And you always find reserves where you didn't think they were.
Right. And, yeah, he keeps, yeah, that part annoys me, but I just like some of that. Which reminds me of...
It's very, very emotionally driven. Like, yes, super duper emotionally driven.
You've got to be careful with your emotions or they take over because of the magic
power.
Have
you met Molly Carpenter yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. I
got to download another one.
I have them all if you...
No, I have them on Audible too.
Okay. Yeah, so like a lot of the training of new magicians goes into like, you know, controlling... Not just like learning magic, but controlling your emotions, so you can actually focus enough to like concentrate on like shooting a beam. Instead,
if you get pissed off, you're gonna immolate everyone around you.
Like happened in that one.
Happens a lot. Happens more. Yeah. But that also reminds me of another magical method in the Belgariad, which Darien's name is from, which has.
Is that the same series as the one?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
The one that Darien's name is from. There's, and I forget the exact details, but there's the will and the word. So you have to put willpower into it and then say the special, whatever incantation it is. But the concept there is you're extremely limited in what you can do. You just have to be clever. Like if you said, I want to move that mountain. If you did that, you could move that mountain and then it would kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've just taken all of the energy out of your body that it would take to move that mountain by hand.
And you can go negative and use it immediately. Yeah.
Well, it would basically, you would just... Like, essentially all of the blood sugar and everything in your body is just gone. And you'd move it, like, a little bit. Because you basically just took all the energy out of your body that would do it. And it could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But, for whatever reason, you can burn stuff. Because you can manage to put enough out there. Whatever. There's, like, weird exchanges. But the one guy, like, things like transfiguring your face to look like somebody else, that doesn't take as much energy because you're just changing the way you appear. So, like, there's these weird rules as to what's hard and what's not hard.
Mm.
But you could, like, take a rock and throw it 1,000 feet. Because you're basically just throwing it over and over again, or the equivalent of throwing it really hard. So you'd be exhausted, but you could chuck that rock real well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff like that. So kinda cool. It's kind of an interesting sort of rules that apply. And it's been a decade since I read that book series, but I remember not a lot of details about it, but it is a pretty fun, another fun magical one.
Yeah. And everything, like the ones like Warhammer Fantasy uses, like basically anytime you're casting magic, you're using like power from the warp, but even if you don't know it. And so a lot of Warhammer Fantasy books and wizards and magics in that scenario, like bright mages and things like that, all center around either, if you're not talking, I'm sorry, we're talking about more arcane types of magic in this podcast too. We're not really speaking to a lot of faith-based magics.
Well, we can a little bit, but
we can, but the one I'm talking about right now, so like arcane. You can talk about Sigmar and like, you know, the Disciples of Cain and all these other places, but like a lot of the like arcane style magics that you would more consider. And if I don't know arcane, it's more just like
I would go so far. I mean, generally, when people say magic and they're not specifying
your
holy magic, you usually refer to what we would call arcane.
Yeah, which is like implements and fire magic, and
as opposed to
like faith-based magic, which
where
is like
you're praying to a god, and you're praying to a supernatural being, and the supernatural being is reaching into this realm and kicking people.
Yeah, that's a good way to say
it. But that's not really, we'd consider that magic from our taxonomical standpoint, but a lot of people would consider that something else.
It's just not something that we've hidden in a lot of books, a lot of the stuff we talked about yet. But we can talk about it with Warhammer, because it's a nice transition, actually, because inside of the Warhammer fantasy universe, there is, and this goes into D&D kind of as well, is that there is faith-based and arcane-based magic. And arcane-based magic, you know, you can't do in, like, plate armor. That's why a lot of mages and wizards and sorcerers are, like, wearing cloth and things like that. It's because you can't do the arcane manipulations what is it called when you do stuff with your hands? Prestidigitation. Stuff with plate armor on. You have to do symbols and like make things with your hands and throw dust and
more like the Sorcerer Supreme again.
That kind of stuff. Where so those people typically aren't as armored as they could be because they have to be able to move and manipulate the world around them. And all the people from the fantasy universe that are doing that type of magic are tapping into the darkness that is chaos a little bit. To invoke these powers. And bright mages, if you've never heard of Warhammer Fantasy, are basically just like fire mages on crack. They're like fucking insane, and they just want to set everything on fire, and they do that frequently and often.
Sounds good.
They're like pyromaniacs with magic,
with the ability to be pyromaniacs.
Yeah, they're like socially functioning pyromaniacs.
Well, then The other, there was another book series we forgot to mention.
Oh, we can do that.
Myth? Well, there's a Myth Inc. one.
Yeah.
Which is another concept of magic.
The reason I went to Warhammer is because I read a lot of books in that universe, and that the magic there is kind of weird. It's usually dark magic is the magic from Warhammer.
Yeah, a lot of it is doing a deal with fucking chaos demons.
Yeah, and then you become a sorcerer. And then
eventually a demon bursts out of your chest, and that's what happens.
Yeah, because that's basically arcane magic in a nutshell.
Be prepared for demons to burst out of your chest, because that's the DLE side.
So with Myth Inc., though, that sounds like a cool one.
And there is a thing in there, I think, where he might have gotten some powers in a trade. Somebody, but the Myth Inc. I remember these are all old bad memories. Gary could probably speak to some of these too because he was a bigger fan of that. But the main character in that one, it's a lot like the Dresden Files, but like I said before, it's instead of a hard boiled gumshoe detective thing, it's more like a wacky 80s sitcom version. But he's a sort of inept kid who ends up becoming a wizard or a sorcerer or whatever accidentally, and then it's a kind of a long convoluted thing. But the way their magic works is there are these ley lines that cross throughout the universe, and they're usually on a planet. And they actually go interdimensional a lot. They travel through space and time, not in craft, but by magically going through portals and going to other dimensions, because they're routinely doing shit like that all the time. They I gotta pop over to this other dimension and buy some stuff and then come back over here and sell that stuff. And it's like, I don't know if you should be... No, that's fine. Don't worry about it. No one will catch me. And it's like, wait. Okay. But he does these... the way that they tap into that energy is there are these invisible strands of energy that they call ley lines, if I remember, or key lines, I can't remember now, but the magically sensitive can basically close their eyes and see them, and they're these big crisscrossing things, not unlike, well, kind of like the lights right there, actually, those stoplights, right? They're just kind of coming around, or the traffic, car lights, headlights, so that they're there, and you can reach out and just grab them, these gossamer threads, or like influence them from a distance, and pull them to where they're passing near you or through you, and then you can tap into that energy and do stuff. And it's somehow, some places have more, some places have less. I think, if I remember correctly, the main character builds his, like, shop on the crossing of two ley lines. But then they end up, they go places sometimes that have none. And they're like, well, I guess I'm not very useful. Did anyone bring a gun? Like, that kind of...
And how do they get back?
I don't remember. I think someone had to come save them, or they could save some, like, of the ley line energy in, like, a trinket. But yeah, I gotta go back and read that one again. It was a lot of fun. But it's interesting as a way to, I mean, in the world, it makes sense for these sorts of things. But from a writing standpoint, it's a way to make conflict and give limitations on what would otherwise be limitless power, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of the narrative aspect of all these things. Like, Superman has all these powers, and so the only reason he can't use all of them is because he doesn't.
Yeah.
Which is usually really boring, or it's like something stops him.
Mm-hmm.
and like, oh, we put you in a kryptonite codpiece, so now you can't do your laser ball power or whatever the fuck he came up with last week that he used to get out of the situation. But like with the Sorcerer Supreme, like we were talking with, he's got his issue is like he has all kinds of obligations and rules and he's sacrificing so much to do this that he could do all kinds of stuff that he doesn't do because it would cause more problems in the long run. Like that's where their story writing is like, oh, well, I would invoke the Eye of Mentumbi, but if I do that again, then Mentumbi's going to come get me because he's pissed at me for invoking his fucking eye all the time.
They did a lot of cool stuff with that in the new comic series, too. They had, I think we might have talked about this before, or I talked about it with someone, but they had him, so Wong was actually his servant or manservant or whatever you want to call him, like his buddy. Manservant, buddy, tomato, tomato. Basically had this entire temple devoted to, because every time he uses magic, some part of him, like, is hurt or dies or, like, there's some price you pay, right? And he had an entire temple of people who were meditating, taking on that pain, so the Sorcerer Supreme could continue working and doing his good. And so, like, he had, like, and Doctor Strange didn't know anything about this. Like, so Wong was doing this behind his back, which was, like, a really interesting story arc thing where, like, it was a big deal because, like, he's like, you know, I'm able to do this, and I don't know why I'm still doing it. I'm not paying that price. I know I'm not, and but I haven't had time to really think about it, and then a big thing happens. Yeah.
Fascinating. That's that kind of fun stuff there. Is like, these are all rules that make the character more interesting, but also provide nice boundaries for the characters being able to do stuff, which is where Dresden fucks up, or what's his name? Bryce Dresden fucks up because...
Which one?
Well, that's what I'm saying is that these bounding rules he has,
he
breaks them all the time.
Yeah.
And it's constantly grabbing more power reserves and digging
and, like, making deals and doing things that, like, will eventually get him in a bad spot.
Oh, my God, he makes bad decisions. But but that's where it's interesting having those bounding rules and how that can create conflict and limitations in characters and allows them to be human still. Because otherwise, I'm a fucking wizard. I do whatever the fuck I want.
You notice that every Dresden Files book takes place a year from the last one? Because it takes him that much time to, like, recover from the fucking book. Like, because he's, like... Yeah, fucks himself up.
He basically got hit by a magic car.
Yeah. The other book by Jim Butcher, it's called The Furies of Calderon. They actually do something interesting. And it's not... I don't know if this is too far off topic, so feel free to just throw me out of the car, but...
Because we totally have rules at Sitsa.
Yeah, we have these rules, okay? They're in place to help people. He uses this idea that you basically get, like, a Pokemon-esque fury, and these things are, like invisible forces that, like, they're creatures that are kind of, like, invisible to the naked eye, but you can call on them and ask them to do things, and they represent the different elements. There's, like, storm furies and wind furies and earth furies and wood furies and all these other kinds of furies that, like, wind fury crafters can fly. And so, like, they have their furies help them do wind-based magic type things. Okay. The earth-based furies can, like, move earth and are really strong, and they can then, like, help people travel really fast. The wood-based ones are, like, good at tracking because they can commune with the forest and all about bending and breaking wood and kind of that kind of stuff. So it's interesting because it was a force you commune with outside of yourself that is tangible. Like, a fury is a thing. Right, and but the way that magic manifests itself, exactly, like kind of like a Pokemon. The best way to describe Furies of Calderon is like, it's like Roman Greco Pokemon because the world they're in is very Roman-esque.
Okay,
like Roman, like I don't know, Roman ancient history, Rome kind of, like
ancient Rome.
Yeah, I guess I don't. It's not like they're in the countryside though, so it's more like I don't know. It's weird, but. They have, like, everyone has furies, and one of the main characters, like, doesn't have any fury. He's not fury. He's furyless, and so he's, like, a weirdo. And so it's kind
of
interesting to see him.
In a lot of those.
Like, you know, he's magicless, right? Effectively magicless. And so, but, like, water furies are really good at, like, letting you do, like, scrying and things like that and communicating from far distances. So it's really cool because it's another concept we haven't really talked about, which is making deals, like, to get power with stuff that is possibly friendly. Like, this thing, like, is like a golem or something, or it's like a water sprite, and you can call on it to do stuff, like, djinns, kind of from Golden Sun, where you, like, that you, like, are part of them, are part of you, and you use their power, and etc.
I'm trying to think of other things I've seen with that.
Me too, it's not super-duper common, but...
Well, it's interesting how few people will go into, like, the mechanics of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's gotten more popular, but, you know, then there's things like Lord of the Rings where, you know, shit just happens and there's magic, shut up. Like,
the magic there is very, I personally think Lord of the Rings magic is very faith-based. Like,
the only people who do magic are the wizards.
Angels, which are actually, like, yeah, they're, yeah, like...
The wizards who are basically archangel dudes.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, it's crazy. And Lord of the Rings magic is very interesting to me.
Yeah. It's all subtle, too. It's like, it's none of it's, I mean, it's, yeah.
It's like what we're calling, like, low fantasy or high fantasy.
I don't even want to use
the one that means there's not a lot of magic.
I don't understand those terms, so I don't use them.
Soft high fantasy or
hardcore fantasy.
Hardcore fantasy.
Hardcore fantasy.
XXX Legolas.
You see the, I don't know. Anyway, I'm done with that.
It's just Legolas porn.
There's one.
Orlando
Game of Thrones magic.
Yeah.
That is fucking way out there.
They don't really do a lot of magic in Game of Thrones.
Not a lot, but a little. Like, there's some, and it's not very well explained. It just happens. Like, bringing back people who've lost their heads or had their throats slit.
Yeah, that's
or been stabbed.
Interesting to me, too.
And it's like,
the magic in that show manifests itself in so many different ways, because you have the Red God, right?
Yep. Spoilers, I guess. No. This is all years old. Fuck it.
They have the Red God. I'm not even going to talk about anything, but yeah. The Red God can bring people back to life. So
via his apostles, like,
yeah, like they're people. Like they like resurrect individuals,
right.
Not like tons of people, but like
no, like, and it hurts them.
Yeah,
to do so. It's fucked up.
And then you have like the not the wildling magic, but the first children magic.
Yeah, those little fuckers who throw like fireballs and shit.
Yeah, and then the green seers.
Well,
then
the red sorceress who's like super young, but she's not.
Oh, that's the Red God.
Yeah, but like,
yeah,
there's that too.
You're right,
like, oh, yeah. I can make you eternally young as long as you wear this. What? Just don't worry about it. And the zombies. Mm-hmm. I mean, fuck, those are all magic.
Yeah, so like that's kind of interesting too, because there's different. It seems like in the seven, like the seven haven't really done anything really magical, but there's a lot of like faith based like,
yeah,
rumblings of power with the seven, and you talk about the faceless god, right?
Yep.
One of the seven is
Jesus.
The faceless god, right?
Well,
and like they, yeah, can. I think that one of the seven is a faceless.
I don't remember if he's one of the seven or if he's one of the seven, but also all the seven, depending on who.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But he's still part of the.
I think he's part of their pantheon.
The seven,
yeah.
Like the pantheon of the seven.
But I think he's also like adherents of the faceless god. Faceless god think that he's also all of them. Like,
yeah,
one of those things. But I don't remember.
And then
you have to read the
dragons,
books to get into that.
So
yeah,
that's
the fucking
cool.
Dragons.
Like they're kind of like their own thing.
Yeah.
Like,
no, there's so much.
Oh no, Pypri and the whole warlock thing over in. Pypri is like the warlock that Daenerys meets over in that, like,
yeah,
that maze.
Yeah,
where,
those fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, by the way, there's magic. But I like the way that they treat magic. Not, I mean, they don't explain it, but it's always alien, horrible, and they try to kill it. Like, what the fuck is that thing? Kill,
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably how people would react, right? Like,
yeah.
Because
it's so, like,
the
rare.
Number of times they brought people back from the dead, and everyone's like, I don't like this. Like, that priest, he's a fucking alcoholic.
Yeah.
And he's like, not okay
stable.
With his life,
yeah,
because of what he's doing, and he can't reconcile that he's bringing people back from the dead.
In the book, they bring someone back to life that you don't think that they were going to bring back to life,
yeah,
and it's horrible. Like, they're not the same person.
Nope.
They are very different in their goals and ambitions, and
yeah,
it's just not, it's not like, it's almost like not worth it, but you know you have to do it. Like,
yeah.
That's.
And then, well, and then there's the mountain that they brought back.
Oh, yeah, right?
We're probably way over time. We could probably wrap it up pretty soon here.
Wrap it up. Magic.
Were there any other magical things you
wanted to
mention?
I mean, there's probably a bunch, but those are the ones that, like, stand out in our heads.
Yeah, those are some fun ones. Just because it was really interesting to see how people use magic to bound stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to create a boundary around them and ways to also extend the efficacy of individuals.
I thought that was always interesting, too. Magic is a tool, and it's a, like, tool that does things that we can kind of already do sometimes.
Right. That's
right?
Not even getting into Harry Potter or those,
oh,
sorts,
yeah,
of things, right? So.
Yeah, Harry Potter magic, that was the other thing I kind of wanted to throw up on was, like, steady-based magic, which is like D&D and wizards. Like,
yeah,
you have scrolls and spells, and you memorize them, and you know the incantations. And
yeah, and they never really talk about where the magic comes from in Harry Potter.
Not really. Like, it's just kind of there.
It's just,
you either,
yeah,
have access,
like,
to it,
physics,
or
physics is just a joke for you silly people.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's kind of like the Doctor Who time travel of magic, where,
yeah,
you're like wibbly wobbly, and you're like, I don't really want to understand this because it's cool what they,
yeah,
do with,
I don't,
it.
I don't care to understand it. That's fine.
Like the time twister thing that Hermione gets,
yeah,
in one,
which,
of the books.
Which, again, why is that not being used by everybody all the time?
Yeah,
forever?
Right.
Like, that's a huge,
it's like an artifact.
Right,
I think it was like an artifact that Dumbledore gave her, wasn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, also, yeah, there's all those fun things. Like, why is this guy just giving priceless magical artifacts to fucking 11-year-olds. Yeah. Like, dude, maybe you're an irresponsible fucking headmaster, man.
I do like the Harry. The one thing I really like about Harry Potter is like the port keys and the ways you can like teleport.
Yes.
Like that. There's some really cool transportation modes of transportation. There you go. Yeah. In Harry Potter, and it's probably got one of the most interesting ways to do it because like. Normally it's just like translocation, but the way that they
do it in
Harry Potter is like you can have an object that when you touch it you get teleported somewhere or at a certain time
of some very well again for story reasons that's why that's that way, but it gives you a very odd flavor of like what the fuck kind of situation necessitated that invention, like what an unnecessarily
or like even way of doing the Hexcruxes
or
Horcruxes it's a really cool aspect like of magic.
Yes.
That you can split your soul up.
And the way you do it.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, like, that's demented.
But like if you that's exactly what you do if you wanted to become immortal. You're crazy. Like you're lose part of yourself, literally. You're
willing to kill people
to
stay immortal by tearing your soul up by murdering
people. Little
pieces
and hiding them around.
Because I actually never finished that book. Didn't you have to kill people?
Every time he wanted to split his soul, he had to like kill someone or something like that.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, that's fine.
But they're just like Death Eaters to kill; it didn't matter.
Right, but I mean, like, think of that concept. It's like, oh yeah, to stay immortal, you got to murder some people. Fuck.
God damn it. I need to get a group of people I can murder. This is so much harder now.
But I mean, that's the sacrifice you're willing to make.
Yeah, is other people's lives so you can stay alive forever. Yeah,
what a fucker. But anyway, I guess we should probably go ahead and wrap this up. This is, we're a little long.
Sorry, guys.
This is Shit Sock, everybody.
Kyle Hagen right here, guys.
Like all our shit.
Yeah.
We'll send stickers.
We give them out today. People are already putting them on their shit.
They're everywhere. If you don't have them, you're a loser.
Yeah, losers.
Loser!
Bye.
Bye.